Welcome to the Digital DJ Tips, Your Questions podcast, the podcast where we answer questions about every aspect of DJing from real DJs chosen from our student community. This is recorded live in front of a student audience, and we've got loads of questions today from everything from the best DJ software when you don't want a laptop with you, to what to do when you're falling out of love with DJing, to music file formats, stems DJing, even how to keep your DJ gear clean, the usual wide range. This is 100% funded by those fantastic students, so thank you for everyone for taking part in this week's show. Let's get started. So our first question is from John, who is with us live here as we record today's podcast, who says, is there a major engine DJ update coming? It's been some time. I was hoping, for instance, they might improve their stems. Okay, so Engine DJ is one of the most interesting pieces of DJ software out there. And it's interesting because it's an alternative platform for DJ gear that doesn't need a laptop. So DJ gear divides roughly into two camps. There's the controllers, and they're so-called because they control a piece of software on a laptop, right? So you need to take your laptop with you. You do all your preparing on your laptop, but then you take it with you to your DJ gear, plug it in, and that's how it works. But then you have standalone DJ gear. Now that's actually the more common form. Record decks used to be standalone, of course. There was no laptop with your record decks. And then CDs turned to players that used a USB drive with your music on. And they've developed from there, and the modern DJ players can take music from the cloud and from streaming services and so on. But ultimately, they don't need a laptop. So you've got these two camps. About 80-20 is the division among DJs. About 4 in 5 DJs are still using controllers, and about 1 in 5 are using laptops. Or rather, about 1 in 5 are using things that don't need a laptop. Sorry. So it's growing. It's a growing area of DJing. Now, back to Engine DJ. Engine DJ is interesting because the dominant brand here has been Pioneer DJ, who are now calling themselves Alpha Theta. And they are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. They are the gear you'll find in DJ booths, etc., etc., etc. But their standalone technology is not the best, as in there's a better one, and that is Engine DJ. It's got so much more in it. The innovations in there are staggering compared to the dominant industry leading, as far as the number of units out there goes, platform. So Engine DJ is the one for the hobbyists. It's the one for the early adopters. It's the one for the people who want the best and don't care about having something that isn't quite as usual as the market leader. And so they have innovated really quickly. They've always been diligent about adding new features fast and about rolling out new things like samplers and stems players and control for lighting and getting the streaming services in quickly and so on. They were the first one to do a proper 4-channel standalone DJ unit, for instance. But as John says, there has been a little bit of a lull, you'd say, recently in new features rolling out. So are they going to do things like improve the stems? Stems is where you have a button that in real time can turn on or off the vocals, the drums, the bass and the melodies in songs. So you can literally divide the song into their stems. That's what those parts are called when you separate them. And I think they probably will improve them because it only ever goes in one direction, this stuff, improvement. But also you need to look at the hardware, because the hardware doesn't stand still. So they've just released a new piece of hardware that's compatible with the Engine DJ software. And the Engine DJ platform got quite an upgrade for that piece of hardware. It's called the Rain System 1. And that's got loads of stuff on it that wasn't on previous hardware that ran this system. But that's the only piece of hardware for a while. So you have to think, especially because they've got some very popular hardware that's now half a decade old, you have to think that first kind of generation, it was actually the second generation, but the first generation of the current Engine DJ platform, you have to think that hardware is reaching the end of its life now, the prime hardware, and they will be releasing something that will replace it. I don't have any word on that, but you have to think they will, because hey, 5, 6, 7 years is a long time in any technology. So when they do, you can almost be certain there's going to be some major upgrades to the software platform as well. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to release hardware that's got new features and so on it. So I would say hold fire, John, because when the upgrade to that dominant set of hardware comes, I think we will definitely see an upgrade to that platform. Our next question is from Dan. And Dan, this is totally different to talking about DJ gear and software and so on. This is almost philosophical. It's certainly a bit of life coaching. Dan says, and it will become clear when I read it out. So Dan, thank you for this question. Thank you for being bold enough to ask it. It says, I DJ 6 to 7 nights every week, and I've been doing this for years. I love making mixes and I love putting them out there, but because I've been so busy, by the time I leave my gigs, I want nothing to do with music. I feel like I'm losing my passion. Is this just burnout? Has anyone else here ever got through this? What's the best way to, ba-boom, get back into the groove? I like your turn of phrase there. And I would have to say, once a DJ, always a DJ, Dan, just based on the wording you choose here. But no, let's be serious about this. It's a real thing. Anything that you do all the time for a long time is going to have you questioning it. It's just life. I have been running Digital DJ Tips as a DJ school for 15 years. I absolutely love Digital DJ Tips to my core. But it would be very strange if I felt the same about it now, 15 years in, as I felt about it at the beginning, wouldn't it? There'd be no progress, there'd be no development. And I'm going to share a lesson from my life that I've followed in the last, let's say, half decade that's kept everything fresh at Digital DJ Tips. So it might well work for you, Dan. So I don't know who said this, but somewhere I read many years ago that really a life should have three things in it. It should have a way of making money, a way of staying creative, and a way of staying healthy. And so for me, the three things I use, Digital DJ Tips is my business. It's a great creative outlet as well, but primarily it's my business. So that's where the money comes from. The creative side of it for me is I study. I'm studying for a degree, for an Open University degree. It's a university here in the United Kingdom that anyone can join, right? You can do it part-time. So I'm studying a degree, nothing to do with DJing. It's history. I'm learning about European history. That keeps my mind creative. I'm writing essays. I'm thinking through things that were just completely new to me and completely unconnected from the DJing world. And I, several years ago, decided that I had to take some other path to keep that part of my brain alive, because the DJ world is something I've been in ever since I was 18. You cannot have the same thirst for knowledge about something that you've been doing for 40 years, right? So, and the fitness side of it, you've got to have something to stay healthy. I'm a runner. I'm a serious runner. And funnily enough, here in the Digital DJ Tips crew, we've got a handful of people who run. And so look, there's mine. There's my trio. But what's your trio, Dan? Because I'm going to tell you now, if you've been DJing 6 to 7 nights a week and you've been doing this for years and you haven't got other things in your life that can fulfill those other roles, that can activate your body and those other parts of your brain, then this is inevitable, right? It doesn't say anything about how much you love music. It doesn't say anything about your passion for what you do 6 to 7 nights a week. It says that you need a balance, in my view. Now, I'm not the only person who has helped you here in the community. Of course, we've got a wonderful community. And we had a reply from another one of our students, Herman. Herman says, find a time when you can just have silence and really enjoy that silence. Try and get some time each month with no electronics, no TV, no radio, and just think about what's important to you. I love this idea of just giving yourself some time to really think through stuff that might make you uncomfortable at first, but shutting your brain off from stuff is a good way to reconnect with it ultimately. As a runner, we're taught, you know, run slowly to run fast. If you go out fast all the time, you're never going to get your best times, because you need those times where you're not going for it. So yeah, I like that advice. But also Herman says, learn something new that's got nothing to do with music or DJ, which is of course exactly my advice as well. Take an online course on Coursera, Udemy, Masterclass or something, and learn something completely different. And get outside, says Herman. Get your shoes off and walk around in the grass for a bit. I love this stuff. You know, this is all overlapping advice, isn't it? But I think this idea of balance is the way forward. And look, we're a community of people who, most of us here, have been DJing for 10 years or more. So I know that you're not going to be the only person that's felt this, Dan. Lots of people in the chat as well giving you thumbs up and saying, yeah, we're with you here, Dan. So I hope you find that balance again. I'm sure you will. But sometimes a break is as good as a rest. Sometimes just go off on holiday for a couple of weeks, right? Maybe that is all you need, Dan. 6 to 7 nights a week. It could be that we need to go no deeper than that. So Ryan says, I'm planning to use stems. We've already talked about stems today, haven't we? In the future. And up until recently, I've always purchased my music as MP3s. And especially because a lot of the places I get it, like my record pools, don't even give you the chance to get the lossless format. The lossless format is the professional format. So it's usually a WAV file, or a WAV is what some people call it, because that's the thing on the end of the file name, .WAV. So the two choices when you're getting music, working with music, are lossless, where it's literally a huge file that's just completely as it was recorded, or lossy. An MP3 is the most popular lossy format. They basically throw away the stuff you can't hear to make the file much smaller. But Ryan's question concerns using those files for clever stuff like stems. So we talked about it earlier. Stems allows you to separate all the different parts of the music. Now, it doesn't have the original vocals and the original drums and the original bass line and the original melody. Instead, it uses devilishly clever AI to analyze that file to separate those things for you, so that when you press the button on your DJ gear, it magically feels like you suddenly got the a cappella, you suddenly got the instrumental, and so on. And so does that mean if you're using the if you like, the smaller, more convenient, but obviously not the original version of the music, not the big file that's just exactly as it was recorded, does this mean that your stems are going to sound worse because you've already compromised the music once, if you like, to get the nice, small, easy to handle file, and now you're compromising it again? So I know where you're coming from here, Ryan. Producers will always tell you that if you're going to be producing music, manipulating music and using samples and stuff, it's always better to get the original, you know, the highest quality version you can. Practically though, for DJing, look, the circuitry in your DJ equipment, if you're using a standalone unit to do this, or more usually the software that you're using to analyze all this music in your on your laptop, is not going to reach the point where you can hear any difference if you've used WAV or MP3 files with stems anytime soon. If you think about it, if you think how hard it must be for a piece of software to analyze a piece of music almost on the fly, but certainly analyze a piece of music, to figure out where the vocal is, to figure out where the drums are and so on, you know, the output is already heavily compromised. You only have to actually take a file, put it into your DJ software, analyze it for stems, and then turn on only the vocal and nothing else, and put some good headphones on and just listen to what it thinks is the vocal. And you'll hear that it's frankly far from the original a cappella. There'll be bits missing where it goes all muffled, like it was in the next room. There'll be bits of other frequencies drifting in, like you'll hear a bit of hi-hat or a bit of cymbal or a bit of an instrument. Ultimately, it will be a rough version. And it's the same with all the other ones. Now, the magic is that when you start using those rough a cappellas, those rough bass lines and drums and so on, and when you start actually DJing with them, so you take the a cappella of one song and you put it over the instrumental of another and so on, all that goes out the window. It suddenly sounds perfectly fine again, because things meld together and the ear's got more to listen to, and you're not being so critical about any individual part. So it doesn't make it a non-starter. It just means that right here, right now, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference if you're using the MP3 or the original professional WAV file. And as you say, a lot of places, especially DJ download pools and so on, you can't even get those WAV files anyway. So there's absolutely no point worrying about it. And I wouldn't worry about it, Ryan. It's absolutely fine. So a question here from Tyler. We've got a lot of stems questions today, so apologies if you're a general listener. But stems, we do a survey here at Digital DJ Tips every year. We're just about to publish this year's version of it. And the survey is called the Global DJ Census. And the Global DJ Census is where we ask our community to comment on everything about their DJing for the past year. Their equipment, their music, what functions they're using, what they're excited about, what kind of gigs they play, and all that kind of stuff. And one of the questions we asked this year is what most excites you about DJ technology now, and whether you're using certain things. And one of the things we said is, are you using this technology that's now in almost everything, where you can just touch a button and separate your music into constituent parts? And 50% of DJs are, and nearly 50% said that they quite like to start using it. So this is a really big thing in DJing at the moment. So there's lots of people I respect in this world who are saying they actually are using these features all the time in their DJing. It's the new way they mix music together. So we have a new mixing course coming out here at Digital DJ Tips called the Transitions Toolbox. And the Transitions Toolbox leans heavily into stems, other ways of mixing music as well, but reflecting this movement in DJing towards this new tech. It's very exciting. So that's why we're getting lots of questions about it, if you are a general listener to this. But Tyler has found a piece of software which splits not into four. And the reason that DJ software splits it into four is that they're easy to work with. You know, you generally want the a cappella, so that's one of them. It's quite nice to have the instrumental, which is the drums, the bass, and the melody. So when you've got those four, you might just want the drums off one track and the bass and the melody off another. You know, when you've got those four, you can quite easily conceptualize what you're doing as you turn these things on and off, and it just saves it all getting overwhelming. However, Tyler has found a piece of software from a company called Fader Plus, which can separate a track you give it into 16 individual stems, 16. So if that number kind of dimly rings a bell for you, it's because back in the day, recording studios tended to be called 16 track recording studios, right? They were the top of the line recording studio before 24 track came in. And that meant they had 16 individual, literally, stems where you could record stuff. So you might have the vocals on 1, 2, and 3, you know, the main vocals, the harmony vocals, the backing vocals. You might have the drums on the next few channels. You might have the bass on a couple and a few synth sounds. And, you know, so you'd spread the 16 out among all the stuff that you wanted to feature in your track when you were in the recording studio. And so nowadays on DJ software, or rather production software, and on platforms, it looks like this whole platform is online, this Fader Plus one that Tyler has found. You can have all these different tracks, and you can do exactly the same thing but in your laptop. And this piece of software appears to take any source material and divide it up. So that would in theory mean that you can remix a track. You could take a favorite track and you could separate everything about it. You could separate the kick drum from the bass line, and you can separate the hi-hats from the cymbals, and you can separate the snare drum from the tom-toms, and so on. And look, break the whole track down like that. I've no idea, Tyler, whether this is any good. Hearing the results from all the very best software that's dividing tracks into just four big areas, right? Drums, bass, melody, and vocals. I would be very surprised if you got 16 usable tracks with everything you put into this. But look, ultimately, these platforms are cheap to subscribe to, and you don't have to stick with them. And so why not have a go? Tyler says, my main goal is to grab the vocals from all my tracks and the guitars from all my rock and metal and rap metal tracks and use them to make mashups and bootleg samples. So look, you can you'll probably find that you'll get very close just by using what comes with DJ software, right? The melody stem will have all the guitars on it. If the guitars are loud, they'll dominate, and the vocal stem will give you just the vocals. But it is interesting and intriguing. And the answer to your actual question, Tyler, is I haven't seen this piece of software or had time to mess with it. I would quite like to. Or if you do, please come back and tell us how it went. It's definitely intriguing. This question is from someone who used to have fun making mix CDs. Someone after my own heart, actually, because I did exactly the same thing. So hello, Cabes. Thank you for your question. Cabes says, this feels surprisingly complicated in 2026. Cabes says, back in the day, if you made a mix CD, I remember those days well, you could skip forward and backwards between the tracks, see the track names on the screen, jump back to a song 45 minutes in without restarting, play it continuously with zero gaps. It was seamless, and indeed it was. Back in the day, I used to do a lot of mix CDs, and I remember being in Audacity, because Audacity was the software I used, where you could literally put markers down that were added to the CD. When you burned that CD, it knew where your markers were, where the transitions were. You could tag each part of the mix with the name, the artist, and the title, and they would scroll past nicely on the screen of the CD player. And as you say, when you load the CD, it would say 16 tracks on this CD, and you could skip through them. And you could have it continuous so that there was no, you know, it didn't pause for a second accidentally between each track. And it was pretty cool when you got the hang of it, right? It was a cool trick to know exactly how to do with CDs. But Cabes says, this appears really complicated to do in 2026 with online mixes. If you want to share your mix online, how do I do that? How do I recreate that experience? I've got a continuous mix, but I want listeners to be able to move between the tracks and to see the names and to skip back and keep it all gapless. Have we just accepted, says Cabes, that the DJ mix is one long file now? Well, I think probably yes, and I'll tell you why. There's only really two places that the world shares its mixes. There are other platforms, but there's only two main ones. And the intriguing thing is that one of them wasn't ever even intended for this. And one of them was. So they are SoundCloud and MixCloud. So SoundCloud is by a long, long way the biggest platform of the two. And SoundCloud was really conceived and is conceived as a platform for sharing your own productions, right? It's a place to put music you've created. There's a kind of grey area with bootlegs and mashups and so on, but ultimately it's for sharing individual tracks. And it's morphed mainly because they are a bit lax with the way they police it over the years into somewhere where DJs share their DJ mixes as well. But the mixes always go up as one long file. Now on SoundCloud, you could put into the comments the timestamps and the list, just like you see timestamps and lists on YouTube, but you can't have the chapter markers like you can on YouTube. And by the way, putting the whole mix on YouTube is very risky. It might get blocked in one or more platforms and territories or so on. And there's all kinds of stuff that means YouTube, unfortunately, if you're not a big record label with whitelisted tracks and so on, it's a risky place of doing it. However, back to the question. So yes, the DJs put their stuff on SoundCloud, but it's technically it's illegal. You won't get in trouble for it, but you might get your channel taken down. And you cannot do any of this stuff that Cabes wants to do. And then there's MixCloud. MixCloud it's almost like an archive platform in that they promise that your stuff is safe there, it's legal, and the way it appears is very nice. You can do exactly what Cabes says. You can upload a list of the tracks and the names of the tracks and where they happen, and you can have a lot of the stuff that Cabes is talking about on MixCloud. But it's the only option. There is no other option out there that has got that legal, archive, permanent, trustworthy. No one's going to take it down. And what you want, which is the ability to at least do some of this stuff when it comes to navigating around the mix. And it's got a phone app as well, so people can download your mix to the phone and do it that way. But yeah, it's not something. There is no obvious, you know, with a CD, it doesn't matter whose CD player you put it into. You can move around the tracks, you can do all the stuff, right? With MixCloud, you've got to be on MixCloud. There's no way of doing a digital file that other people can play and just jump around in whatever they're playing in. It doesn't exist. So we have, you're quite right, Cabes, gone backwards there. And unsurprisingly, in the live chats, as we record this podcast, lots of you are saying just that. Joe says, I use MixCloud, I add timestamps, and I just share that MixCloud link. It's the only way to do it. Christopher says, I still create mix CDs, but I create two versions. One that is a complete file, and one with tracks which separates by tune. So you're kind of going to cover off both bases there, depending upon the audience. So thank you for that. So back to the question about 16 stems. Chris says Logic Pro, which is a traditional digital audio workstation. It's like Ableton or FL Studio. It's the Apple one. Logic Pro will do multiple stems, more than four, but the results do vary quite a lot depending on the age of the source material. Oh, the age of the source material. That's interesting. Tyler says, you know what? It's only $10 a month to try it out on the Fader Plus. I'm going to have a go at that. Christopher saves the tracks on Plex. So Plex is a audio and video playback platform, so you do it that way. So thank you for that. And Christopher, let us know in the comments, does it play back seamlessly when you have a playlist on Plex where you've saved the tracks and divided them up? If so, that could be quite good, certainly for personal use. I have Plex as well. So all that said, I'd like to just move on to the next question. And as always on these live shows, we go all over the place. So Paul says, Phil, can you explain how you remove dust and fingerprints from DJ equipment? And I'm going to add to that dandruff and, you know, human stuff. I'm afraid, says Paul, of using anything too aggressive, but I don't want my decks to be dirty as some decks I've played on elsewhere. So funnily enough, here at Digital DJ Tips, and I know other people such as my good friend Mojax and other reviewers have exactly the same issues. We review and film tutorials on a lot of DJ gear, and believe me, under the studio lights with 4K cameras, you can see everything. You can see every eyelash that's fallen onto a jog wheel. You can see the lot. And I am honestly very gung-ho about this. I am too lazy to care too much about it. I try a little bit. I have a duster, a lint-free duster, and I have a paintbrush. A paintbrush is a good thing. Get a good quality paintbrush that doesn't shed its hairs, and you can get between all the knobs and faders and so on to clean stuff off. And if it gets really bad, I have some window cleaner. And I don't even know if that's the right thing to use, but I find it, I wouldn't like to use furniture polish, for instance, but window cleaner, for some reason, I just think that's all right. And I've always used that. That's kind of always worked for me. If you've got dust stuck in crevices that you just can't get out without, you know, using your fingernail to get in there, I find a aerosol of compressed air is a really useful thing to have around as well. And actually, an aerosol of compressed air is a good thing if your faders are starting to feel a bit scratchy, because it could just be that there's dirt in them. And before you start putting electrical contact cleaner, or God forbid, WD-40, don't do that, into those little gaps, just try blasting with some compressed air. It can buy you a few weeks or months of having them running again before you have to disassemble the thing and start getting stuck in to get the dust out and so on. So that's what I do. But before we finish today, how do you keep your DJ gear clean, community? Share a few tips in the comments, and I'd love to share some of those with the audience as well. Lots of you talking about ways of getting more than four stems. So apparently, if you don't want to shell out for Apple's Logic Pro, they have a $12 a month way of doing that as well. And that means that you could compare it to this service you're looking at, Tyler. Maybe do one month and one the next and see what kind of results you get. So I'm going to grab one more question for today. And this is a question about getting a new laptop. Jack says, can you recommend an Apple laptop for around $1,000 that's reliable? Or do I have to get something more expensive? So it depends on a few things. If you're only using the laptop to prepare your music to DJ on a standalone DJ setup, then you can use any laptop because it's not a performance tool. If it takes a bit longer to analyze your music, or a bit longer to export to your USB drive, or the screen's not very good, or it's a bit delicate, who cares? You're doing it at home. You've got all the time in the world. It doesn't matter. If you are using a laptop to perform from, as we talked about earlier, then it starts to matter, right? So that's the first thing. So decide that first. The second thing is, what features are important to you when it comes to DJing? If you are a DJ that only wants to do what you've always done, play one song, play another song, play the next song, play the next song, you're not interested in all the latest features. You're not interested in layering effects over effects, or playing four things at once with stems separated, or using video, or using whatever else on your software might take a little more processor power. Then again, the most important thing is that your software meets the minimum, your laptop meets the minimum specification for the software you want to use, which you will find on their website. But also that the unit you're using is going to be durable enough, because you don't want to use a cheaper, like at home, I've got a $400 Lenovo laptop, Lenovo business laptop. I've got it because it's got a big screen and it works for studying. And if it breaks, it breaks. I don't care. I don't use it anywhere else. I don't use it for anything else, right? You don't want something like that, because then they're not built to last in a DJ booth. If that laptop got damp, or I dropped it, or it got too warm, or it got shaken about by the bass bins for a bit too long, I'm sure it would go wrong quickly. So think about the durability more than the specification if you just want something that works. That said, you've asked for an Apple laptop, and the good thing here is that they are all built well. So even the cheapest Apple laptop, the cheapest MacBook Air, is going to give you what you need. Now, the specifications to look for are 16 gigabytes of RAM as minimum, which will work with all DJ software, and a hard drive that's big enough to take the music you want to put on it. And this is where the price starts to go up, because you really do want a solid state hard drive, a hard drive with no moving parts. I don't even think they make laptops anymore with the old style, but they do cost a bit more, right? So they've kept the cost of laptops a bit high. So here's where you might have to compromise, because if you're having to get a 256 gigabyte amount of hard drive on your unit, then you're going to have quite a slick DJ library, right? You can't have 5 terabytes of music with 256 gigabytes to keep it in. I think that's not too bad. And assuming that, you're happy to have a lean, mean collection, which is the way forward in my book, then the cheapest MacBook Air is 16 gig, and I doubt they do an 8 gigabyte version anyway, would be absolutely fine. So you're looking for the M chip, you're looking for the new ARM chip. As long as, and they've had those chips for many, many years now, you will be absolutely fine. And indeed, that's the advice that's coming in from the community as well. Any MacBook Air with an M chip will do. And if you buy it with an external SSD, such as a Samsung T7, to keep your audio files on, you also solve the problem of expensive memory inside the unit. I agree with that if you're someone who's happy having your music on an external drive. DJs are divided on this. I much prefer to keep it all in the computer itself, even if it means having less music in there. But DJs are divided. Herman, and thank you, Herman, for your reply earlier as well to... it was Dan, wasn't it? Herman says, I have the MacBook Air and I also have the Samsung T7 and it's fantastic. So thank you for sharing that. And so when it comes to cleaning your gear, Benedict says, I use a deck saver. Deck savers are fantastic, custom made, but I say custom made, they're custom made for each DJ unit you can buy, not for each person who buys them. Custom made, almost unbreakable, see-through plastic cases that go over the top of your unit. And I agree with you, deck savers are really good to keep your gear free from dust when you're not using it. Also very, very good if you carry your gear around in a soft bag, because they give the hard protection to the side of the DJ gear with all the delicate knobs, buttons and faders that might get bent or knocked or whatever. And so thank you for sharing that, Benedict. And the Ruckus says, the dust brushes that forensic specialists use are great. I use them for my gear and for my figures in my cave. I'm assuming you mean you're like model figures, right? So I love that. So get on the police online stores and get some forensic brushes. And Andrew says, get a computer cleaning kit. The chemicals in there are going to be fine. So fantastic. Kesha uses disinfectant wipes. And John cleans with a microfiber cloth and just a little bit of distilled H2O. So there we go. And that's where we're going to leave it for now. I hope you've enjoyed the show this time around. If you have and you'd like to get closer to Digital DJ Tips, do head over to the Digital DJ Tips website and click the big pink join button. We'll give you a copy of our book, Rock the Dance Floor, just to say thank you for becoming our latest free member. And you can then maybe even ask a question of your own. Take a look at our courses and everything else we do for the DJ community while you're there. Meanwhile, from me, Phil, here in the Digital DJ Tips DJ School Studio, get good, get out there, make the moments, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.